Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Turo. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations on time?
Hey, well, we are those people who've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, Season 1, Episode 5, Jamaican Me Crazy. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Almost said Married at First Sight. They all blur.
It's all blurring together. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, Sean's like, we're on color people's time, blaming it on technical difficulties. Yes, exactly. Just a little bit. Or like High Vibe says, right, CP time for real. Yes, I'll take the blame this time.
I respect that you own it. See, it's I get it. I think you and I get it. You know, it's a Kappa Alpha thing. You know, alphas, we tend to be leaders on time, all those things. And Kappas, y'all got to get right. As Nick has shown us, y'all got to get right first. Oh, and so you just took a while to get right. That's all.
We all know you're really looking. We're waiting for you to find your Drakkar Noir to put on.
It's Monday. Today's a Prada day. I'm wearing Prada.
Oh my goodness, man. Look, what an episode this one is. As here we are, episode number 5, picking up right where we left off, that fight between Silas and Jasmine. And of course, Jasmine throwing hooks to the body and uppercuts to the head, saying that Silas is controlling. And then I like your frat brother here, Preston, and this one. He's like, everybody's stupid, and that, you know, they're both right. Silas is controlling, and Silas and Bria having that conversation, and that Bria is manipulative. He's absolutely right, you know, and it's okay. Both things can be true, and that's exactly right. Both Silas is wrong, and Bria was wrong.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that whole argument was just dumb, and I think Preston nailed it on the head that, you know, Bria is manipulative and Silas is controlling. I still don't understand the big deal about the whole Simon staying at the house situation, and then watching Bria throw her tantrum. You'd have thought that, you know, you took her Barbies and said you can't go play. You know, she just threw this fit. Yeah, and I was like, what is this crap?
Well, think of me, why was Jasmine yelling, like, you know, stay in your room to Bria, like Bria is a child? Like, I mean, you know, you said this was going to be a more mature show.
I thought so. So I was hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray. So, and here's what's funny to me, as I watched this whole thing play out, I said to myself, I'm so glad I'm in my 40s. And I'm not friends with any of these people, because these are people I would not go on vacation with,
yeah,
or do anything with. Or maybe it's just Jasmine and Silas. I would probably hang with everyone else. Jasmine, Silas, I could not do vacation with them.
Sounds like you're more hashtag team Bria than hashtag team Silas.
No, I'm hashtag team Preston. Let's just drink. And let's just have, we're on vacation. Yeah. Why are we doing all this? Let's just drink, eat, and be merry. So Team Preston for that one.
You notice that Nick was the one who decided to go and offer like a peace plate to Bria, right? He brought up this peace plate with all his mac and cheese. And to be quite honest, while Bria's on the phone with Simon, Simon should have broke up with her. They're smacking and chewing with her mouth stuffed. Not even just food in her mouth, but her mouth stuffed the food and she's still talking. Like, hey.
Mm. No, I think what Nick did was wrong and sexist. Here's why. He sees a woman upset. His thought is, maybe she needs to eat.
And she did.
Yeah, she needs a Snickers. You know, she's turned into a diva when she's angry. Maybe she needs to eat. And I'm like, you just can't assume when a woman's mad that maybe she's hungry. Maybe she has a right to be pissed. So he brought her some food. Like, I know you mad, but here, eat this.
Now, what did she do when she got that food? She ate it.
And all of a sudden, it was all back to normal.
She calmed down.
It's like her blood sugar was low, and he gave her some orange juice, and she just snapped right back.
You're just mad that he was right.
Well, when that first happened, I'm like, okay, so she's upset. You still bring, hey, you need to eat. But look, turns out, he called it.
They remember they told her she can't leave her room, so she actually listened to them this time. So he went, yeah, he really went up there to go help her out. Like, here, you should eat something.
You eat this and shut the hell up. You come back downstairs when you get your shit together.
But they had the family meeting, right? The whole house meeting, minus, of course, Bria. I like how Summer and Jason, like, man, this is a survivor? What are we doing? Voting people off the island?
I know. Jason's like, why are we doing it? I'm here on vacation. Now we're voting? I don't understand why we're doing this. And this is why I could not go on vacation with Jasmine and Silas. For other reasons we'll talk about later, too. But especially with all this.
So, of course, after they get past this, you know, they fed the beast and Bria's eating and, you know, she's that hot tub session, which Alex has just passed out on the couch, right? Now, let's be honest. Hot tub session, pretty uneventful, really, right? Not a lot to talk about there.
Nope.
But after the hot tub, I mean, you get to see just how loud Jasmine and Silas really are, right? I mean... Mm-hmm. It's like disrespectful to the fact that Amir had to just, you know what, the hell with this, pick up his bedding and head downstairs to the couch. Is it disrespectful for Jasmine to be hollering like that, knowing that they're in a house full of people?
Yes, it's very disrespectful. Mm. I've had amazing quiet sex because other people in the other room, you can do it. Mm-hmm. But it's disrespectful. In college, you do that and it's funny. Like your roommates are outside playing video games. You're in the room doing things. In college, that's what you do when you're young. These people are in their 30s now, and it's disrespectful to all the other people that are staying in the house. Mm-hmm. I find that to be very, very rude and immature on their part.
It's you know, it's not like you don't know that whether they can hear you or not, right? I mean, there's no way you think you're in a soundproof booth and hollering like that. So is Jasmine putting on a show, as some people in the live chat were suggesting last week?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you can't see. So maybe Silas is putting in work and all that noise is valid. Maybe. But there's other people there. Mm-hmm. There's people that you don't know. That invited by other folks, like, how are you making yourself look in front of these? And I agree with Silas. Like, he doesn't like his wife making all this noise for other men to hear. Because I don't want to sit there and look at, you know, look at his wife across the breakfast table like, mm-hmm. How was your night? We heard it. We heard every bit of it. You know, it's bad. It's bad all around. I don't think it should have went down like that.
It's the interesting thing for me is like you're in a house full of people, right? If you're home alone and you want to be that loud, be that loud, right? But you know you're in a house full of people. You got to be aware that sound travels. It's nighttime. Sound travels at night. The walls are not concrete. You're not in the Caribbean. You're not in these concrete walls. These are paper mache. If you've ever seen a house built here in the States, you know. Sound is going to travel through these walls. So
I get it. I mean, I get, you know, you got Nikki B here that says, you know, when the D is fired, usually it takes your breath away. Mm-hmm. But if your breath's taken away, you ain't making all that noise. So maybe it's not fire. I don't know. But to me, it's just wrong. It's disrespectful to do to the other guests. They all didn't travel here to hear your Pornhub movie that you're making up in your room. I just don't think all that was not necessary. And you don't scream like that knowing there's people in the house. I mean, you're screaming like you are in a penthouse suite away from everybody. Mm-hmm. And you're not.
So interesting thing, as this is brought up here, you might as well just combine it to a little further in the episode. But Ravine says, but why did Silas get mad when she was trying to be quiet? When they acted, because like you brought up the fact that, you know, he said he didn't realize that they were being that loud. And I find that hard to believe, one, right? That you didn't know they all being that loud. But then when it's like, all right, you got to be quiet. And then she's quiet and he gets mad because all of a sudden he realized that stroke ain't stroking. And she knows how to be quiet. And apparently she could take more than he can deliver. And he didn't think so before.
See, that's youth, right? Because those of us in our 40s, we don't care. You make noise or you be quiet. As long as we both, you know, enjoy ourselves, I don't care. You know, but he's just young and immature that he needs all that noise to make him feel like he's doing something.
So was it all for show for him in the first place, though? Is that what it is?
It could be. Maybe she's making him sound like this Nigerian warrior, makes him feel good and great if that's the case. But you, again, you could whisper in his ear like, oh, my God, no one ever. It's so deep. You're hitting my lung. I can't breathe. You could say all these things. Oh my goodness. It's in my throat. You could say all these things if you want in his ear and whisper it. You don't have to do all that screaming. It's just not necessary.
Lorraine says, Jasmine is putting on a show. She knew the others were hearing. She's trying to prove something to her friends about her marriage. And you know what? That is true. I totally am in agreement with you, Lorraine, because, you know, there's just like, I remember an old roommate of mine who had in college, and I was, you know, on the other campus. And this one girl who was just extremely, I'm like, look, he's had other people here. What he's doing is not that special. Trust me. Go now, let everybody else go back to sleep, please. Trust me. We got class in the morning.
I don't know. I mean, she could be faking it. Maybe she's really feeling it. Who knows? My whole point is shut the hell up. I remember in college, this girl was like the screamer, and I'm like, I'm not even doing it. Like, I knew I'm not doing that much for you to be doing all this screaming. And I have roommates. I'm gonna need you to just bring that down. You're at an eight. I need you at about a three. Okay. People gotta get up. They got work in the morning. They got stuff to do. I'm not doing anything that crazy. That's just a bit much.
But I just turned the light off. What are you doing?
It's like, you make all that noise. I'm in the kitchen getting the water, and I'm hearing you scream. What are you doing?
Hey, what's really going on over here?
Yeah, what's really going on? Who else in here? Who's under the bed?
Oh, my God. So the next day, which turns out it's day eight, because a lot of this happened on what? The night before was day seven. So it's day eight and day nine when a lot of these things happen for this episode, right? We find Amir still asleep on the couch. But here's the interesting conversation between Nick and Jasmine, right? Of course, Nick goes back to check on Jasmine again.
Bria.
And it's Bria again. And I don't know why I kept writing Jasmine down here. But Bria says she's going to leave if Simon has to leave, right? And then Nick is like, well, you know, don't leave because, you know, and then my girl may come. And she's like, wait a minute, what? Are we really going to get to see his girl? Or his, if we mashed the two shows together, his friend girl?
I wouldn't be surprised, because why not add more drama to everything? Because to me, Simon, when we get a chance to talk about him, he doesn't seem like he brings any drama to the table. But when Nick says, okay, everyone is okay for three nights. So she's like, okay, when he has to leave, I'm going to leave. I'm like, go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand this whole issue with the three nights. If everyone's already paid for it, it's all said and done. Okay, so he comes for three nights and Bria leaves to go be with her man privately. So that way she could yell like Jasmine, but like an adult, do it privately, not around a bunch of other people. I don't see what the big deal is about this thing.
Do you think maybe Silas is a little afraid of the showdown between him and Simon? You know, they may have a scream off that night. You think that's the problem?
I think no, and especially as we get to the end later about the gifts they got, I think Silas is going to shut the hell up and mind his business.
Well, you know, they're talking about Jordan's 1 year, she has her 1 year celebration or celibacyation, or I'm just trying to combine celibacy and celebration here. I don't know if it worked.
Celebrate good times. Celebrate.
Celebrate.
celibate.
Take it back. It's funny. They get out to this brunch for the girls, not just the girls, because Preston's included. And you notice before they even get there, Jasmine is like, I want this to be about you. Let's not make it about Bria, right? Well, as soon as Preston gets there, they sit down. Preston's like, so Bria, how are you doing? And immediately Jasmine gets irritated. It's just like, it's okay for me to check on her. But here's what I like that Bria did. She was like, hey, you know, everything's fine. I'm back. You know, everything's good. But it's not about me. It's about Jordan. And she just kind of shifted it.
Yeah, so I personally don't understand the celebration, right? If you let's take you out for lunch because you've been keeping it tight for a year. I just don't get it. But whatever. So when they get there and, you know, Preston starts talking to Bria, Jasmine gets all, you know, typical Jasmine. This is why she's so annoying. She's an annoying character or even person. Because she just seems to be everyone's business, and it also gets really offended way too easy if things don't go her way. But fine. What I thought was funny is when, was it Jasmine that asked her, what would you want to do to celebrate your 1 year of celibacy? I'm like, I have a couple ideas of probably what she might want to do. It's just there's no one there that she wants to do it with.
Right.
But I bet that she has some things, you know, that's on top of her list.
Well, she even said it. She said, you know, that she's kind of, you know, ready to get it on. And that, you know, she also revealed that her whole celibacy came about because of a situationship, right? And, you know, then Summer reveals that she had a situationship too. And which really gets me to thinking, right? And first of all, definition of a situationship and who is really at fault in these situationships?
Well, you know me, I believe in accountability. It sounds
the way they
described it, to me, it sounds like Jordan was involved with a married person and Summer was just involved with a person that hadn't, you know, quite let go and she was wound up giving more. I think their situationships are very different.
Very.
And if you chose to date a married man and things go awry and that makes you want to, you know, close up shop for a year, great. Whatever you got to do for yourself, but accountability. And I think Jordan's situation is different than Summer's. Kudos for Summer for choosing herself to make sure that she's good before she gets in the next relationship. But, you know, these people are so quick to cry too.
Look, it was something that was emotional for her. Of course, I mean, she's going to cry a little bit, you know, shed a tear. And that was, you know, it was interesting how quick that came about, right? Like, and all of a sudden everybody's like, whoa, wait, what happened? But as she told it, you know, she got it out and it was good though. So the thing that was interesting to me was that they all tell Summer that Alex, they notice Alex has a thing for her. And she's just like, oh, well, I'm going to have to talk to him when I get back.
Yeah.
And she didn't waste any time. She was like, she just went, okay, oh, you think so? Because she's on she's past her situationship, right? And she's ready to move on. And she's just like, guess it was the first thing she said, I'm single. And she meets everybody, I'm single. Like, she's ready.
Yeah.
And ready to go.
Go straight to Alex's door. Do, 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 do.
Housekeeping.
Then they start. Interesting how the producers do this. Where they start talking about yoga and meditation, and all of a sudden, my screen started doing backflips. And yeah. I'm like, what the hell's wrong
That's what I said. TV? Summer's getting, it's in Alex's web. She's in his spell. Like, yeah, namaste to you too. Just deep into it. So, and kudos. I mean, if it winds up working or something that is there, there's a connection there. I think it's great. You know, run with it. But after they get done, wait, when did they go shopping? Was it after brunch? They go to the house, then they went shopping after that?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So then Summer went to talk to Alex before the whole shopping deal when she got caught up in his spell.
Right, exactly. And then they go shopping, and obviously Jasmine just can't stay out of issues, man. It's like LMV says Jasmine isn't in control in her relationship. She has to control everything else. And Nikki says Jasmine wants a friend to be miserably married with her. Because the conversation when they go shopping is with Jordan about this whole thing of, so what are you going to do? Who are you interested in the house? And she's just like, yeah, you know, nobody really, to be quite honest, you know. But we saw this from the very first episode, from the very beginning of this season. We see Jasmine's trying her damnedest to get everybody to hook up.
Yeah, and that's sad to me, because if you are happy and confident in your own relationship, you're not doing that to other people. So whatever issue she's dealing with, you know, it's coming out where she's projecting on others. And there's nothing more annoying than people who are newly married that's like, all right, when is it your turn?
Right.
When do you got to do this with me? Because this is hell by myself and I need help.
Yeah, you see, it's almost like you notice later in the show that she almost acknowledges it, but still doesn't see it from the other person's perspective, right? But she's right. Like, I'm not doing that. But no, actually, you are. You know,
you
but
are.
And she semi acknowledges it, is the best way to put it, right? Now, one of the things people we find out a lot more about is Summer, right? As she announces the reggae night for the house, right? She said that's going to happen that night. So before everybody goes shopping, she announces that this is what it is. And here's why. She's Canadian, Irish, and Jamaican. And for all you racists out there, it was the white daddy is the one who disappeared on her. You see, it's not always the black man that's leaving his family alone, okay?
Well, he had to go to Canada to get some of those Canadian cigarettes and just he couldn't get back. You know, who knows why he didn't come back? Maybe his passport expired. His work visa didn't work anymore. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. But she's like, yes, you know, that, and then my daddy wasn't there. I was like, ah, no, don't do it. And my daddy's white. Yes. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. A different story, finally. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. Black team, 568,276. White team, 20.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Making a run.
Oh, my God. Hey, Raveen has a great question. Why is it always cigarettes with you, Daryl?
Because that was the saying back in the day. It's like, we'll get a pack of cigarettes and the guy doesn't come back. You know, you could say he went to go get a gallon of milk and didn't come back. But it was just, that was the saying that people used to say, what, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, dad went to go get a pack of cigarettes and never came back. That's where I say that.
So that's what it is.
If you want, I can say he went to go get a bag of now-and-laters and he never came back. He went to get pistachio nuts and never came back. Whatever you want to use that he went to go get, he didn't come back.
Hey, Alice, LMV says he couldn't bring his half black baby to his family. Oh my God. Well, so she grew up, you know, with her West Indian family. And of course she hires high five, sis. He went to Whole Foods.
Hey, I take offense. I'm a Whole Foods shopper. I go to Whole Foods quite a bit. So, maybe he met somebody there that smelled like patchouli and had on some Toms, and he's like, you know, you cute.
He look, what happened was he got lost looking for something affordable in Whole Foods. That's what the problem was.
And next thing you know, he just got a job and forgot all about his family.
See, I'm gonna need a job just to buy something here. Jesus Christ, how expensive are these eggs? No, Chael says he went to get maple syrup. Hey, Nikki's taking it a whole nother ride. He went to Walmart. You know, he's never coming back. He went to Wally, 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 Wally World. Or he met Sunshine.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, I ain't never coming home.
Yeah. See, Nikki's old school. I love that. Not everybody's going to get the Sunshine reference, but I do.
Now, all of nights, yeah. And Michelle says he went to 7-Eleven. Wherever he went, he didn't come back, that's for sure.
Right.
Which, good for her, because she was able to experience all this, you know, extremely well-seasoned food. So she hires a chef because she's like, I don't cook that often and I want it to be good. So she hires a West Indian chef to come in and make the food. Amir cannot handle the heat. He said, look, man, remember, my black side of the family was never there. We cook with sugar.
Then don't eat it. There's nothing more annoying than people eating spicy food, complaining how they don't like spicy food. Don't eat it. I don't like Indian food, but if you were having a birthday party at an Indian restaurant, I'm not going to say I'm not going. I'm going to go because I know I can get some vegetables and some rice, and right. I'll like that. All that other stuff and sauces and curry, I don't want it.
You don't like
at least curry? I can get something, and I don't. So at least I can just eat it and be fine. Curry just is in your pores, man. You ever date someone that eats a lot of curry and then, you know, your sheets smell like curry, your bed smells like curry, your pillow smells like curry. Had a bad experience in college. And ever since then, I was just like, I can't. I just
is
can't
it who
do
I think it.
It
is?
It is. Because, you were living with me at that time. It's exactly her. And she was a dope person. But that curry smell, I could not get out of my house. And I was just like, I just can't. I just can't do it. So ever since then, I've had this issue with curry. But my whole point is, stop complaining. If you don't like spicy food, you got to do it for TV, but just people like that in my personal life, you get around, oh, this is spicy. I don't really like spicy. My stomach, don't eat it. And shut up.
Wait, I says, what? Curry sheets? Curry Badoosie?
Hey, that curry smell gets in your pores. Just like Sean says. You know, that shit stinks. And when it comes out of your pores, it's heavy. And so, I'm just not a fan of, curry. I don't like it.
Now, Michelle said the food did look good. My mouth would have been on fire, though. The food did look good. They did a great job with the food. And you notice even Silas was saying that Jasmine can't, he was fine with the food. Because he's like, I'm Nigerian. We cook with a lot of spice, too. He said, now when my mom cooks for Jasmine, she'll put the seasoning for everybody else and a little bit for Jasmine. Put hers on the side because she can't handle it. So
that's fair. And that's nice of his mom to do that because you got a lot of black moms that's like, this is what we're eating. I'm not making separate stuff for anybody. So either you eat this or there's some peanut butter and jelly in the fridge. You make it happen for yourself.
See, that's how my grandmother used to do it for my cousin and I. She'd make us a plain cake, and for everybody else, she'd make the rum cake or the fruit cake. You know what I mean? And so we had the plain cake because I wasn't eating it with all of the stuff in there. And as far as the spicy stuff, Robin says, man, I put 2 Scotch bonnet peppers in that small pot of oxtail I made over the weekend. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Put some fire in there.
Did I ever tell you that the only time I've ever had oxtails that I recall is when I went to Jerk Fest last year? Yeah, I've never really had oxtails, and so I loved it. It was good.
I must say. So, what'd you think? Because since you'd never had it before,
it was good. I mean, I'm trying to try so much food. The only thing I didn't like is the portion sizes were too big because I don't want to get full on just one truck, but. It was delicious. I'm like, I get why people like this. It's slamming.
Yeah, one thing about Jerkfest, and the funny thing about it is we'll always tell people, tell the vendors, it's okay to go with smaller sizes. Therefore, everybody's like, nah, I'm selling all my food, and I want everybody to stop right here. And so they serve you a bucket here.
Yeah, we're going to have to put info out for people. If you want to come to Jerk Fest, it's amazing. Highly recommend it. Good food, good music. But those oxtails were on point. Those wings that I had, just everything that I had was delicious.
Hey, well, since you put it out there, Saturday, July 15th, Riverfront Park, North Charleston, South Carolina, chsjerkfest.com.
See? That was an alley-oop. You saw I did that? That was an alley-oop. I'm like, Yanni, that was your chance. Catch it.
Yep. It's an amazing time, man. Yeah, chsjerkfest.com. All right, so they get past the eating and decide they're going to play a game called Truth, Dare, or Drink. And if you don't do the dare, you have to take 2 shots, right? First up, Nick is dared to jump in the pool with his clothes on, and his response was so Nick. Not with these.
That was so Kappa. That was so Kappa. Excuse me. This is Ralph Lauren from head to toe. It's Purple Label. I don't even know what Purple Label means. So I was just like, fine, you do you. But it was the most Kappa response I've ever seen.
Well, look, that man spends a lot of money on his attire. And, you know, actually, here's the funny thing. You say it's a very Kappa response, right? But I think it's a you response, because you'd be the same person who'd be like, not in these clothes, I'm not. That'd have been your response.
No, because I'm not sitting around the house in my good stuff. We're just sitting around playing games. We're playing bullshit college games. Why would I be dressed in my Purple Label from head to toe for that?
that man comes out looking right at every given time. Robin has a great question, though. Who plays those games at that big age? Dangerous.
I agree. They had the college night where they were doing the beer pong and all that. I mean, I get one night, let's go back to college days and do stupid stuff. But are we seriously going to sit here and play truth, dare, or drink? Because all it's going to be is what it wound up being. So-and-so kissed so-and-so.
Of course.
So-and-so touched so-and-so, which is how it's been since the dawn of time. I'm like, why are we doing this?
High Vibe says, when are they going to play spades? Never, because Andy Cohen doesn't know what that is.
And Amir can't play spades.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amir's going to sit out. And you know how we are when somebody sits at the table that can't play. We're like, no.
Yeah. He'd just be sitting on the side like, so how's this work again?
Yeah, don't ask any questions. Look it up. Google it. Go upstairs.
And what do you mean renege? Are we allowed to say that on TV? Is that when you double? No.
People always been making fun of my black side. It's like, no. Reneging is a part of the game. It's not a name.
So what happens if they call him a renegger? This means
so
you keep doing
double
it,
black? Are you saying I got blacked again? Is that what you're saying? So I'm going to get rejected twice now when I come back to Austin?
So after Nick decides to take his shot, he does Summer to give someone a twerk session, and she gives Nick the twerk, right? Gives him the lap dance, which, you know, Alex is like, nah, you know who she wanted. But here's the thing about this lap dance. She gives him such a good lap dance. This man who's in such a committed relationship that he was like, take the watch off, take all this off. I'm going to jump in the pool because at least I know the pool water's cold.
Right. We all know what happens. It's like when you're a kid in middle school and you get asked to go up to the board. You're like, I'm going to need a little bit more time. That lap dance took Nick from 6 to midnight. And he's like, I need some cold water. Stat. Exactly.
He was like, I can feel the moon rising. It's like, I gotta jump in this damn pool real quick. That's the same thing I thought. Man. You know exactly why he jumped in that pool.
Yeah. You throw the card in this way to distract everybody's eyes. Then you stand up real quick and turn so they can't see, you know, Mr. Happy poking out. And you want to jump in that cold water real quick. And then now you're good.
he needed it, Michelle. Like, Nick needed that cold water real quick. And Lucy V said, shrinkage is real. Hey, look, when he was heading out to go, when they were heading out earlier today, he had on the sports coat and the sweater. He's like, you see that breeze out there? He knew what he was doing when he ran outside. What'd you think when Milo started humping Jason?
Nothing. We've all seen that before. You know, like dogs doing that. And I was just like, what the hell, Milo?
You know, Milo was like, hey, that lap dance got me started too. me next.
Milo enjoying the whole reggae theme. He's like, oh shit, Pon de Diva.
Oh my God. Summer dares Amir to give Jordan a striptease dance. What'd you think of that whole session there?
Of course. Whatever. Now, are you asking what did I think of his striptease?
Yeah.
I have no critique for that. He did what he wanted to do, and I think it worked. But I have no critique for that. I thought it was funny. I'm like, go for it.
Then Summer dares Preston to kiss Bria, right? And She's like, where? He's like, wherever you want. So he goes and kisses her in her spot. And then she described it like, hold up. Feels like you were eating eating some cat. And he's like, well, you know, I have slept with a woman before. Wait, what? What did we find out about Preston here?
Are you joking right now? There are a lot of gay people who slept with the opposite sex mm-hmm. at some point and then was just like, yeah, no, I'm gonna go this lane. I think that's what
this ain't for me.
That's what Preston, I think, did. But right. I know quite a few guys that are gay that have I think I've only known one that has never been with a woman, but mm-hmm. majority of them had at some point and were like, gross, I prefer yeah. this. And so I think that's what Preston was saying. So right. whatever that spot he kissed, hopefully it's not somewhere that Milo, you know, drooled and
yeah. Funny, Preston is so funny when like because she's like, wait a minute, so are you bi? He's like, no, I am. Yeah. I was like, damn.
He's like, no, right over here. This is exactly where I know my truth. I know where I'm at. This is where I stand.
He was like, nah. Let's get this clear. Mm-mm, don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Hey, Nikki said Preston had one more than Andy Cohen.
But hey, Preston's a trooper. That's all that matters.
What'd you think when Preston then said, and you know, it's interesting because I thought Preston was almost the star of this episode, really and truly, right? He had the liners from the beginning all the way through to the end of this episode. And even this time, he dares Summer to go ahead and kiss Alex. And of course, like you said, this is where you know this is going. Truth or dare, it's going to start up being,
yeah,
somebody, give somebody that you're attracted to this, or do this, or kiss somebody, twerk on somebody, like, you know where it's going, right?
Right.
Well, what she does is she throws the ball in his court for consent, which is interesting because even Shanice wasn't there and she still did that because remember the whole, I need my space. And is that something you think she picked up on or is that something they had a discussion about before?
It's possible that they had discussion about it before, but I think it's still respectful mm-hmm. because you just can't, hey, well, they dared us. So, you just can't just come at somebody. Right. I think that's nice that she recognized his space. And I'm sure she would want the same in return. Mm-hmm. If someone said, Alex, I dare you to kiss Summer, I would hope Alex would be like, hey, are you okay with that? If not, I'm not going to force it. So I'm hoping it could be a little both, maybe. I don't know.
Do you think maybe it was more so her going, you know what? I already made the first move by going and talking to this man first. Because she wasted no time when she got back to the house. She went straight to his room and was like, hey. Walked in and just sat down and had that conversation. And like that she's straightforward, knows what she wants, goes, gets it, right? So in this space, you think it was more so like, all right, well, let me see if he's even really feeling in any kind of way.
Well, I don't think that her going to his room was like, hey, I'm interested. Mm-hmm. It was just, I went to the room. I can't imagine anybody. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine just because someone's like, hey, Toro, you got a minute? I'm like, ooh, she wants me. No, she just wanted to talk. So, and I think Alex is not the F boy that he probably was years ago. And so maybe timing could be right for both of them. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think she was just trying to say, hey, if you want to, you let me know and it's okay.
Right. Now, of course, after this whole truth, dare and drink is when they had the next session where they decide it's Silas and Jasmine and the quiet storm. he couldn't perform because she was no longer making noise and he realized that he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do in the first place, that she had been faking it all along.
I don't know if the whole thing just disturbed me. I can't say that she's been faking it, mm-hmm. but maybe she is. I mean, let's go down that road. Mm-hmm. Maybe she is faking it because she has a nice situation. She doesn't have to work. She has mm-hmm. Silas. He has those traditional values. She plays her role. And if I have to like make extra noise to mm-hmm. make him feel like a man, great. But I still look at Jasmine with side eyes. I'm like, how do you not how do you not have enough respect for yourself and for your relationship with your husband to not do that in front of all these people?
Well, so here's the question. Do you, she's faking it, making all this noise. You know, she's already doing the whole point of, you know, she's in a better place. She's in an elevated place. She's married now that, you know, this is what it's like when you get married. It's going to be this.
The beams of light. The sex beams. Is better when you're married, apparently.
The sex,
you know,
is louder.
Married sex is like, you scream louder now that that ring is on your finger. It just adds another level of volume. You know, it's just, you just turn that ring.
Robin says, Terrell, trust us. She's faking. Kitty says she has to. And High Vibe said, that's a sad life Jasmine is living. And if she really isn't, that's a problem. Because here's the thing. On the What Happens, was it What Happens Next Live with Andy Cohen, Bria and Amir were on there, right? And Lorraine is absolutely right about this first. Andy was flirting with Amir, especially on that Pillow Talk segment. Yeah, he really did seem he was trying to flirt with him. It almost felt like Amir was almost flirting back with him a little bit too. But one of the things that Amir talked about, he asked him, how'd you feel about being in the room, choosing that room next to Silas and Jasmine, right? And he was like, yeah, I kind of regret that. He said, so what'd you think of all that noise? He's like, well, you know, I'm not going to talk about anybody's stroke game. I mean, that alone was all he had to say. And he even gave a demonstration of the stroke game. And like Lucy V says, with those jackrabbit moves, she's faking it. And that's what Amir was alluding to, that, you know, Silas needs some work.
It could be, but I kind of agree with Robin here, where she says, I wonder if Jasmine was loud like this when she worked at the Playboy Club. Maybe it was a side hustle. I'm not calling her a gold digger. I'm just suggesting trick. And I think that in that environment, your goal is to try to make the man feel good, to make him happy. Mm. And you're going to do those things because he's tipping and he's paying. And so maybe that's what she thinks that sex is I got to go all this extra. Rather than just to tell him, like, excuse me, can we talk for a second? This little missionary, you know, power driver move you're doing to you is awesome. To me, I'm not feeling it. I'm going to need you to do X and be able to talk about what she wants to be satisfied compared to just him. But all that screaming and stuff's annoying.
Now, Nikki says, shouldn't Jasmine be too sore to have sex every night? And Darren wants to cross shows here and says, Eris knew married sex was better.
I don't think she's that sore. I mean, apparently, she's hey, fine. Maybe she's a trooper. Just
is this where Eris got his married sex thoughts from? It could be.
I saw this couple on TV. They're married, and their sex is phenomenal. I want that.
Here's the thing, though. He tells her to be quiet. She gets quiet, and all of a sudden, he can't perform. And her response to that is, "You're being delusional." I thought that was an interesting fight for them to have in that moment.
I thought it was interesting, but I don't even know if I should say what I really think. Okay, I haven't had enough. I have enough vodka, but I will. I'll say it. So.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, y'all are married. Mm-hmm. And I figure like when you're married or you're at that level in a relationship where you're comfortable, you should be able to just talk and share. Why not just say, hey, you're being a little loud. I need you to be quiet. I have an idea of something that can help you be quiet and make me happy at the same time. Why didn't he go down that route? You know, instead of just saying, you know what? I can't do this because you're not making enough noise for me. That's just crazy.
What's crazy is the fact that he told her, hey, we got to be quiet now. I don't want everybody to hear you moaning because now I realize everybody else can hear. And then she gets quiet. She does what he asks. And then he gets mad about that.
Yeah, but I'd have been like, hey, look, no one complained at dinner about me moaning. So, how you do the kissing? You know, no one complained about him make a noise. So why don't you just kind of, hey, today's a Silas night.
Oh my God. So before everybody gets together with and Simon, the next day Simon's coming, right? So before they get together with Simon, you know, some of the girls go out and they ask Summer about, you know, her number one draft pick. Is it still Amir? And she's like, no, it's definitely Alex now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that shift coming, you know, because she said Amir asked her one of those first nights out when they're sitting out by the pool. And it's like, well, anybody you're interested in? She's like, yeah, you. You know, again, Summer's very straightforward in the way she's moving. I like the fact that she's just one of those straightforward people. It's like, no, this is what it is, right? But now she's like, no, Alex, not Amir, right? And Jordan said that she's like, yeah, she's not really about Amir. But then Jasmine really starts to frustrate as they're having more of this conversation about her relationship. And like, well, you need to hook up with one of these guys. And she's like, no, well, yeah, I do want this long-term relationship, but there's nobody in the house that I feel is that one for me.
Mm-hmm.
And they just seem to butt heads. I almost felt like it was a silly argument, though.
It was a silly argument, but Jasmine was in the wrong. Mind your business. It doesn't matter. Well, I'm just worried about you. I don't want you to be alone. She's happy.
Right.
Why are you worried about her being alone? And I've had people tell me that. Well, Terrell, who's going to take care of you, you know, when you're 75, 80 years old? I'm like, well, some 24-year-old nurse, because I'm going to have insurance and coverage. So that's who's going to take care of me. Jordan's good, you know, but why are you worried about her getting in a relationship? Be happy in your own relationship. And it's okay to be single. No one says because you're 30, you should be married and you should have kids. I think that's wrong. Mm-hmm. And I think what Jasmine is doing is different. And maybe Jordan doesn't want to be a housewife. Mm-hmm. Maybe she has other things that she's trying to do. And Jasmine chose a place that she wants to be in. But I think Jasmine should have just set the hell up and mind your own business.
Well, it's not even that Jasmine didn't want it. It's just that there was nobody there that she was that interested in that level. She's like, yeah, nah. There's nobody really piquing my interest, so cool, you know?
I'm sorry. Nikki B, you are a trip. She says, most men will try to get it while you're sleeping with rollers, a face mask, a nose strip on. They don't need noise, just an angle. Going back to Silas and Jasmine. Like, true.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think Jasmine overstepped and she's coming across like most newlyweds when they're in their late 20s, 30s, very condescending, and they know so much now and they see the world at a different place now that they're married. It's a very annoying tone that she has, and I don't blame Jordan for being bothered and upset about it.
Yep. No Child has a great observation. Jordan hasn't been having a good time since she went off on Phil. It was downhill for her from there. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess you just kind of see that.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no one she's interested in. She's not interested in Amir. Nick has a girlfriend. Alex, off limits. Silas is married. Preston's gay. Mm-hmm. Jason is now the new one, but I don't think she's feeling him either. No. So, yeah, she's just like, I'm just out here to be in Martha's Vineyard and have fun with my friends.
Exactly.
That's wonderful.
Donna D says, I think Jasmine generally thinks that Jordan wants to be in a relationship. She's just trying to be a friend. Jordan is kind of mean a little. She is kind of mean when she wants to be, but at the same time, she as a friend, Jasmine has to respect the fact that she's like, yeah, I'm not interested in anybody in this house. I mean, you know, there's more people off this island. You do know that, right? There's more people.
Stay in your lane. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jordan's happiness is not Jasmine's job. Mm-hmm. Jasmine, focus on your relationship. Stay in your lane. If your friend's in a relationship, great. If they're not dating anyone, great. If they're celibate, great. Yeah. If they're sleep with everybody, great. But mind your business. It has nothing to do with you.
Exactly. Now, Simon finally arrives, and he pulls up in the Lambo and comes bearing house gifts, a.k.a. some liquor, which everybody...
I don't know what kind of bottle that was, but I want it.
You don't even know what's in it.
I don't, but I want it. I just saw that. I'm like, I need to like screenshot, do a Google image search, and find this bottle and see what's in this.
Okay, here's before you do that. Who in the chat has seen that bottle and went, "Oh, I know what that is. What is it?" Because I'm assuming we'll figure this out before we even get off of this, right?
I hope so. If someone knows, let me know because I want it.
Robin says it was tequila. Now I've seen that same bottle because that's the white bottle with the blue trim with the bell on the top.
Yeah, it's a different one.
Is it? Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, now, I've seen a bottle style like that. That's a tequila that was delicious. The reason I want that one, if that is tequila, that looks smooth as shit. That looks like a good sip of tequila that you are not going to get hung over on. It just looks good.
Because that's that brown tequila, right? But the other one is that good one too. And the white bottle with the blue trim. Yep. Yeah, that one's, I don't remember the name of it, but yeah, that was what kind is it? Expensive tequila. Yes, that bottle was expensive as hell, especially when you had the damn maitre d' delivered it. That was expensive. But he comes in, he meets everybody, is nice to everybody, and even, you know, Silas is like, look, we appreciate the gift, the house appreciates the gift, and we appreciate you. And then they go to dinner, right? And when they get to the dinner, dope setup. Everything's kind of laid out nice. They're like, whoa, man, this place is beautiful. And then all of a sudden, they break out the gifts, right? And Bria's like, we didn't get you anything for your... for your wedding, so here's your gift first, and then they hand everybody the gifts. And what kind of great gifts were these?
You know, this is why you got to have some white friends, because you just find you some wealthy German white friends and keep them. I don't understand those gifts. Honestly, I don't even understand the gifts for Jasmine and Silas. That you got each of them $1,200 Versace watches. That's way too much. That's way over the top. But then you're going to get a bunch of strangers $800 watches?
Okay. Here's the thing. Because I had time, watch What Happens Next live. Simon is a high-end watch reseller. Hence why he was able to give everybody $800 watches and Jasmine and Silas $1,200 watches. And he's like, so you're saying, so basically he was just promoting on the show. basically, because he was providing swag, you know, which smart move. He gave everybody an $800 watch, but don't miss the significance of what he was doing with that. He was telling everybody, hey, I'm Simon. I'm here, and there's no time limit on how long I can stay. I brought you this Class A Azul gold because Danny brought it. Was this Class A Azul tequila, right? And then the bottle that they have is the gold. If you Google it, I already did that. Google it, and you'll see the gold. You'll see the bottle. That's exactly what it is. That bottle is there. Holy crap. Yeah, nah, bro. We good. It's a $300
bottle. How much bottle. Is it? That's it?
Yeah. But you buy it.
I will. I know. Go skydiving. We go skydiving again. 2023 skydiving trip. So I respect the hustle. I didn't realize that's what he did for a living. So now it makes sense.
Right.
Exactly. This kind of stuff.
Because I was questioning the same thing. Was he a drug dealer? An arms dealer?
But I don't know about you. I would not feel comfortable accepting a gift from a stranger that's $800 because I feel like I'm going to have to owe you something. I just don't feel comfortable. I don't know you. Hey, I appreciate that. No, sir. You give that to someone else that you think might want it. I don't know you like that. I'm not taking an $800 watch from a stranger. Cause to me, that just sounds like a setup.
It does. But you know, and I think it made it hard because even Silas was like, yeah, he could stay as long as he wants for me now. But here's the thing. Lucy B says, Simon is the former nerdy kid in school who bribed kids at school with candy to be his friend. Nikki B says, the humble pie was served white only pies. Anyway, we can make those into And then Robin has a great point here. That entire group is wholly transactional. They were bought off with a bottle of tequila, a dinner, and timepieces. Yes, but those were some $800 timepieces. You know, there were some high-end timepieces.
Yeah, no, but that's a good point that they are very transactional. I think that's just, again, youth. you know, your late 20s, early 30s, someone's giving you an $800. Oh, shoot. Are you thinking about outfits? Where and when you got to wear this? At 48, I'm like, so Simon, what's the catch?
Right. Exactly.
What do you expect? Because I'm not joining you and Bria in the room tonight because you got me.
Even
watched.
In your 20s, you would have questioned it. I know you.
I sure would have. I would not. Yeah. You know me.
I would have questioned it too.
I would not accept it. I just wouldn't accept it because to me, I don't trust it. Are these stolen? Are they hot? Like, I just would not take an $800 watch from a stranger. Period.
Exactly. Possession is 9/10 of the law. You stole it if you own it now. So that's the problem. Katie, thank you for it's Watch What Happens Live. I don't watch Andy Cohen. That was the first time I've ever really watched it. So, yeah, I had no idea what the name of the thing was. So I'm like, watch what happens next. I'm like, no, you got to get it right.
Yeah. No. And see, I'm aligned with Lorraine B. Your integrity should never be for sale. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Just, I don't trust, even if he's coming in, you know what? I get they're giving you all these hard times, Bria, about me coming. So here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to set up a dinner at this really nice restaurant. I got it all paid for. I'm going to bring with me a whole bunch of watches to give to everybody. And then we'll have them in the palm of our hands and they're not going to be able to tell us no. And we can make all the loud sex noises we want just to combat them because they're not going to kick us out because every time they get mad, they look down at their watch like, what time is it? Oh, shit.
It's time for him to stay.
This is where. Go ahead. I'm thinking, Simon.
Now, on Watch What Happens Live, I think your brother Silas was about to be embarrassed on this one because one of the things that Andy asked Bria was something that she had brought up before, apparently. And it was, you know, your favorite woman from Married at First Sight, Kirsten, had her 8-inch requirement. Well, Bria said that Simon walked in with his 10. So it was about, it would have been a showdown at the OK Corral if you had to be.
I don't, unless you work in the porn industry, no woman that tells me my boyfriend is 10 inches. No, he's not. No, he's not. And no guy just gonna be, hey, dog, I got 10 inches. So yeah, I got to do exactly. What I got to do. It's like, no, you don't. Unless you work in the porn industry, you're lying. And who would say that on national TV besides trashy ass Bria?
My goodness. Well, this show is you said when we were about to start this, and your whole thing for this show is different. It shows another level of intellect. Are you still feeling the same way, sir?
It's not a dating show, so it's a palate cleanser between all these dating shows that we do. So I'm still on board with that. There's still a lot of drama. No one, I thought going into this, no one gets voted off, but apparently you can get voted out the house.
Yes, it is surviving.
So other than that, it's still fine. I'm still enjoying this for what it is. I like the, what it does for us, it creates that Kappa Alpha banter, which we do anyway, but now I can look at proof. I'm like, why is your boy wearing a sports coat and a cardigan? Just too much.
The man was chilly.
It's too much. No, he's pretty. Yeah. Pretty to his left.
At least he's not controlling like your frat brother.
Hey, but we get shit done.
Yeah, you know, Big Brother Rabbit. Big Brother Bria Rabbit.
We get to the point. Yeah, it said we party hard, we stay up late, most of all we graduate. We never said that we're gonna go in for an hour.
Well, yeah, well.
Knocking it out.
And apparently you ask for something, you get it, and you're still mad about it. Now you can't perform. Jesus Christ. What is, even though Sean wants to point out, you know, Alpha Man is always punctual, meet Terrell. You haven't always been on time. Stop it.
I've been more on time than you. Let's just say that. I've been more on time than you. Yeah. And I tend to always be ready because as an alpha man, I stay ready. Yeah, that way, when you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. So,
Are you done? Let's stroke your ego just a little bit more. ELove173 says, hey, Big Zaddy Terrell.
Hey there. Sending some Prada your way. Can you smell that? Yeah.
That's Ricard Noir. I don't know why you're lying to people. It's probably Jupe.
Hey, Jupe was fire back in the day. Don't sleep on Jupe. Jupe was nice, you know, back in, you know, 93.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to the whole spades at the house, why they don't do it. Ravine said Amir is definitely reneging. Nikki B says, if you renege, you got to put the food and drink down, stand up, and get the fuck out.
That's how fights start. We've seen it. Mean? That's how fights start.
Ellen wanted to point out something, which we, she said Bria wanted him to stay for a week, not 3 nights. Yeah, but remember they said that the 3 nights that they did say that he could stay after they did their vote, that Simon could stay 3 nights, then Bria said that she would leave with him if he's only able to stay 3 nights instead of the entire week, that she's leaving with him. And that's what we're referring to in that one. But I think after the watches, he's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they're all going to be assholes. They can't be like, hey, we did say 3 nights. She's like, look at your wrist.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you serious right now?
What time do you want him to leave?
Yeah. What time do you want to go? Look at your watch and tell me what time you want him to go.
And Ravine also said this regular guy meet and greet at Jerkfest. Yes. So
yeah,
Saturday, July 15th, Riverfront Park, North Charleston. That's where it'll be. CHSjerkfest.com. Get all the details there. So
I plan to be there. I'm not working the event. Yanni will be busy. I've seen it firsthand. This time I'm just going as a guest. I'm not going to help do anything. So I need people to hang out with and watch the show. It's awesome. It's lit. Highly, highly, highly recommend it. And Charleston's beautiful, especially the location, the venue they have. It's amazing. So let's posse up.
Yeah, there we go. Posse up, chsjerkfest.com. Hey, we still have Married at First Sight this week. Still got Love in Paradise too, don't we? Yeah, we Love in Paradise. Yep. So we'll do that one tomorrow. Married at First Sight, possibly Wednesday. Well, later this week, we'll do that. And then, of course, back again for Summer House. Episode 6, where it seems like we got more fireworks because Shanice is showing back up. Trouble returns to the house.
Yeah. Be sure, those of y'all that are there in, we appreciate you hanging in. Again, sorry we're a little bit late, but go ahead and hit that like button. Mm-hmm. And then be sure you hit the bell for notifications, because indeed, when we try to stick to a schedule, but Yanni and I have full-time jobs and we have things that we got to do where sometimes things just get moved. And if you hit the bell for notifications, you'll always be in the know of when we're about to go live.
Exactly. And before we get out of here, I just want to hit one or two of these comments here real quick, just because Lucy B says they sold their souls for timepieces. Sean, your frat brother, says they changed their minds after the watches. Beware of the hand that feeds freely. Right? This yeah. Kitty, oh man, I can't believe you. Hitler time. But I'm not going to lie, I felt a little funny when he said I'm started talking. I'm like, wait a minute.
Before I get started, are there any Jews?
This guy was bananas. And Dollface made a great point. The last days in the house should be just the cast. When you get into the last people, does that mean Milo's got to go too? Or is Milo now a part of the cast?
He's part of the cast. He's the original.
Yeah. And and last one before we get out of here. What? Married at First Sight isn't over yet?
Don't even get us started. Don't even get us started.
We still got 13 more episodes to go.
Yeah.
This show will be over before Married at First Sight season 16 is over.
Apparently.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
See that? Where is it? Oh, there it is. Ah, there we go. Got it.